This is Piedmont Arts. I'm Rachel Stewart. If you decide you'd like to have a career composing choral music or writing choral music lyrics, where do you start? Well, first, you probably want to sit down and write something. But how do you get your creations in front of the people who might be interested in them and who can help you out? Well, you attend a Choral Composers Institute or conference. And one of the newest Choral Composers Institutes is right here in the Charlotte area. And we're going to learn more about it in just a moment. Also, Phil Vavra's fanfare segment is coming up, and there's no shortage of concerts and productions to take in during these early weeks of summer. And Phil has the lowdown on a lot of them. He will share that, so stick around. The International Choral Composers Institute is returning for a second year, June 23rd through 27th at the Dubois Center at UNC Charlotte Center City, with a final concert on Sunday, June 28th at the Keynes Center for the Arts in Cornelius. It's a 5-day immersive program dedicated to nurturing and instructing choral composers and lyricists of all levels. And it is the brainchild of Sherry Blevins, who is herself an award-winning choral composer and lyricist. And she's our guest on Piedmont Arts. Sherry, welcome back to talk about this. I'm glad you're able to come back for a second year. That means the first year was good.
It's wonderful to be back. And we are so excited to come back a second year with even more students than the first year. So we're really happy it went so well.
For anybody who's not familiar with ICCI or International Choral Composers Institute, can you give us a little background on it, why you started it, what it does?
As a new composer, an emerging composer, I didn't start composing till I was 45. And so because my degrees were not in composing, I thought, well, what can I do to improve my knowledge base and to connect with other composers without having to go back to school, because I was still paying for my master's degree at that point. So I thought, what can I do to not go broke, but still learn more about composing? And I found the Composers Institute in Iowa called CORO. I applied and was accepted like back in 18. I loved it so much that I returned the next year and did it again. And each time I went, my teacher brain was always thinking like, wow, this is great. This is great. I wonder what else they could add to make it even more awesome. And then CORO was canceled the next year. And so following that, I started looking for other institutes I could go to because it was so awesome. And I found one in Italy called Opera Luca, and it still goes on every single year. But that was 3 years ago that I did that one. And loved it so much also. And at the same time was thinking like, ooh, what else could we add if we did it? So I've always been thinking this is something that I could do. And especially being a teacher first, I'm always thinking about how can I help? How can I, you know, give the next generation what I wish that I had as an emerging composer? So what I did was I took the best of all of those things. And then I added my own twist, which is allowing publishing houses to come and speak to the students every day and to give them that insider knowledge that I always wished that I had as a new composer.
That getting in front of publishers is one of the biggest challenges for composers.
Yeah, I think so. And I also believe that I lucked out because the first thing I wrote, I reached out to a mentor of mine who happened to be an editor of Henshaw. Henshaw is a choral music publisher, one of the biggest ones. And I asked her, you know, like, is this okay? And she's like, actually, I'd love it to be in my series with Henshaw. And so I really just kind of, I feel like I got to skip the line and go to the front of the line because I knew her. And one of the exciting elements I feel like of ICCI is these students also are skipping the line and getting to meet face-to-face these publishers and also to talk with those of us who have done it and been successful at it. So we try to kind of put together the best of all the worlds.
Describe for us what a participant can expect when they come to ICCI.
One of the biggest things that they can expect is that they receive daily instruction to improve their own composing. And so they get one-on-one instruction with their teacher that's assigned to them. And we have 5 different instructors. And so some of them have even requested which instructor they want, and we pair them with that person. That's in a master class style setting. So while they're getting instruction one-on-one, They're also allowing other students to watch the process. We also instruct lyricists. And so we have world-renowned poet and lyricist Tony Silvestri, who is our lyricist instructor. And this year, because we're growing so much, we're adding new instructors for both composers and for lyricists. So we also have Grammy-winning Todd Boss as a lyric writing instructor, and he's going to join us this year. We have a whole lot of composing instructors, including Zenaida Stewart Robles, Victor Johnson, who is very, very well known, Dr. Rafael Fusco. We have, let's see, Kate Jansen, who is also with Henshaw Music. And then me, I'm also with Henshaw Music, as well as 8 other imprints.
So you said you've grown, you've added instructors, and you've added students?
Yes. So last year we had 40 students, and this year we have 60.
And where are they coming from?
They're coming from everywhere, and it's so exciting to see this. So we actually offer online instruction as well as in person. And the reason for that is because we have students coming from very far away. And as you know, flights can be very expensive. So we have a student who's actually coming from Australia, but she's Zooming. We have a student in Germany, and she's also Zooming. We have a student from the UK, and he is Zooming with us. And so we have quite a few students who are doing it that way. We have students from Canada, and then we have many students from all over the United States, from Oregon and California, all the way to Texas, all the way up to like Pennsylvania. So we're covering everything. And we're so excited to host just such an international group of students and instructors, by the way.
So what explains the international interest?
I think it's because in the United States, we kind of have a big market for choral composing and for publishing. And the reason for that is in a lot of countries, the tradition for choral music is more just auditory, and they learn by rote, which is an amazing tradition, and we celebrate that. But a lot of times, music is considered free. And music is considered part of the culture. And so there's not really as much of a push to create these new works and to sell them as there is in the United States.
Okay. So they've heard about this in the United States, or these are individuals who are trying to make a living.
Right. Or just even if they're not trying to make a living yet, they're trying to learn enough so that they can potentially make a living. And part of what we do at ICCI is we also teach not just how to get better at composing, but we also teach, you know, how to get yourself better known through social media. How do you get your foot in the door with publishing houses? How do you connect with other people in the field to potentially collaborate, which is one of the coolest things that we ended up doing that I did not expect. Our lyricist students and composing students are now all collaborating with one another, not just during the week of ICCI, but many of these students are still collaborating. Just 2 days ago, one of my composing students took off to form a consortium with 2 other composing students from ICCI so that they can basically create works together and sell them and promote themselves. So they are just continually collaborating and creating, and it is so inspiring to me.
It sounds like these institutes, and particularly this one, are a great way for people to network and build connections that they need. And I'm wondering, how many opportunities are there? You mentioned at the beginning, you know, the ones you had attended, but are there that many of them in the United States?
Not that many. I mean, there are others that have different specialties. So I believe there's one in California, and I looked into going to that. The schedule, to be honest, looked really intense to me. And one of the things that I decided about ICCI was that our classes would be 9 to 5 so that students could actually look at, you know, view things in the city and get out and about and have time to socialize and also a little bit of time to compose on their downtime. Because what we do at the end of the week is we premiere the works that they've worked on all week long. And if you don't have time to complete your works or to make adjustments, it's hard to make that happen. And so the one that I looked at in California that I considered going to, I was like, ooh, that looks like a really intense schedule. When would I get to see California? And then there's another, I think, in New York City. And that one, while, you know, interesting, and I learned and got to share a work of mine, it just didn't have everything in it that I would hope for. And then there's another one, I think, in Texas that focuses primarily on sacred music. And then there's another one that I think is in England somewhere. But yeah, I think they each have their own specialty. And I'm sure they all are valuable and great. To my mind, I just created what I felt like I would want as an emerging composer. And so that's what I've done.
So do you consider this to have a specialty, ICCI, or not?
I think our specialty, really, when you look at what is primarily different about us, is that we include the publishing houses and we invite them, and we also include lyricists. And one of the things that I love about doing this is I talked to Tony Silvestri recently, and he said, you know, he notices that a lot of times lyricists feel like the stepchild or the ugly stepchild of the composing world, just because all the attention is usually heaped onto the composer. And so we want to let people know how important the lyricist is, because choral music is a sung art and we sing words.
What do you think of the future for ICCI? Like I said, congratulations on getting to a second year and having it grow. I'm sure it's a tremendous amount of work just to have it happen once a year. What are your plans for the future? And what are some of the biggest challenges you have?
It is a tremendous amount of work, but it's a labor of love. And I honestly began working on the next year's ICCI as soon as the first one is over, because the venues and all the places that we host it, they actually get booked pretty quickly. And so we're actually at 3 locations this year, because our venues were booked already by August. They were already booked. And so I reached out in August. We had the ICCI in July. I reached out in August about venues. All the ones that we had used before were already booked for the next year. Fortunately, we found the Kane Center of Performing Arts in Cornelius, which is a gorgeous theater. So our final concert will be at the Kane Center. But that's one of the things that it's important to work on this all year round, because you've got to start getting venues immediately. And then you start recruiting and advertising to find students. And so we make ourselves known on social media. We put on the American Composers Forum that we exist. And we also reach out to different Facebook groups and things like that to say, hey, would you mind sharing the news about us? So that choral composers and also choral conductors, who often have an interest in composing but don't know how to get started, so that we can find them in the wild and so that we can reach out to those people.
So have you booked anything for next year yet, or that happens?
No, I wish.
In July?
I wish. But I will say, I have loved working with the Kane Center so much that I am pretty sure we're going to work with them every year. They just do such a phenomenal job at not only promoting us, but just are so lovely to work with. The theater's gorgeous. We love the community. And we also love the idea that we are Center City Charlotte for instruction. And then we kind of move out and expand to give our concert. And so we like covering more territory. It's a lovely thing.
Well, as one last question about that concert, that is really the event that the public can enjoy. And so can you explain a little bit about it? You did say, you'll be performing the works that people have written over the course of the week. But just give us a little bit of an overview of that and how people might, you know, get tickets or whatever they need to do to attend.
We are so excited to present our concert of premieres and new works at the Kane Center, which is in Cornelius, in downtown Cornelius. And all they would have to do is go to the Kane Center for Performing Arts. They can get tickets there, and they are $20 a ticket. But anybody who teaches or studies choral music can reach out to me for a discount code for a half price ticket. And so we're happy to offer that to those folks. We're going to be premiering not only new works by our students, but we're going to be sharing newer works by the composing instructors this year, including me. So I'm really excited to have one of my pieces. One of the other exciting things we're doing this year is we have a two-time Grammy Award-winning vocalist coming to perform at our concert named Hila Plitman. And she is known for singing tracks and many blockbuster movies, including like Ghostbusters. And I can't remember all the rest of them. But if you look her up, Hila Plitman is just amazing. And she's going to be singing on our final concert. Potentially another surprise artist that sang in New York City on my premiere that just happened a week ago. So we are really so excited to share brand new works by our students who are emerging amazing composers in their own right, but also to share works of these folks who are already out there doing the thing, including our Grammy Award-winning teachers and students. So anyway, we're so happy to be presenting it and hoping that everybody will come and join us and make it a huge event so we can bring it back to you again the next year.
All right. Sounds good. A really good opportunity for people who love choral music and are interested just in music in general. So thank you very much, Sherry Blevins, for talking to us today and telling us about the second year of International Choral Composers Institute. Good luck with it.
Thank you. It was so wonderful to be with you, Rachel.
That's Sherry Blevins, who's the founder and organizer of the International Choral Composers Institute. You can find out more about them at their website, internationalchoralcomposersinstitute.org. Well, besides their choral concert coming up on June 28th, there are many other options for concerts and activities in the area, and Phil Vavra is here to tell you more. Phil?
Thanks, Rachel. The summer music season is hotter than the weather. Opera Carolina, the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra, and Brevard Music Center all have multiple performances to offer over the next week. Plus, a beloved outdoor drama is back for another season in Boone, where it's probably a little cooler. The Queen of the Night comes to the Queen City as Opera Carolina brings Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's 1791 masterpiece, The Magic Flute, to CPCC's Dale F. Halton Theater, June 26th through 28th. This presentation of Mozart's enchanting final opera is an international co-production with the Teatro Sociale of Como, Italy. The Charlotte Symphony Orchestra has another action-packed weekend of outdoor performances. It starts with an America 250 celebration at the Energy Explorium in Huntersville on Friday at 8:30. Then you can catch the CSO with fireworks at Village Park in Kannapolis on Saturday night at 8:30. And there will be more fireworks as the Summer Pop Series comes to a close with the annual Celebrate America concert, featuring all-American works by Duke Ellington, John Williams, John Philip Sousa, and more at Symphony Park on Sunday night. The prelude performance by Charlotte-based progressive bluegrass quartet North State Grass starts at 7 p.m. and the CSO begins at 8:15. The Brevard Music Center's Summer Festival officially opens its 90th season with renowned pianist Garrick Olson performing Sergei Rachmaninoff's brilliant Piano Concerto No. 2 at Whittington Fole Auditorium in Brevard on Friday at 7:30. Keith Lockhart will also conduct the Brevard Music Center Orchestra for Anna Klein's Masquerade and Ludwig von Beethoven's Symphony No. 3, The Eroica. You can check out my complete fanfare column at WDAV.org for more performances on the Brevard schedule. Now in its 74th season, the Revolutionary War outdoor drama Horn in the West returns to the Daniel Boone Amphitheater in the town of Boone, Tuesdays through Saturdays from June 26th to August 8th. Take your family to experience the riveting story of Daniel Boone and his fellow frontier settlers during the Southern campaign of the American Revolution with music, dance, live battle scenes, and firelight. This summer and fall, the Winston-Salem Symphony is presenting free chamber music concerts at the Mary Alice Warren Community Center in Louisville. Sunday, June 28th at 3 p.m., the musicians will perform a program of patriotic brass and drums to get you primed for America's 250th birthday. The new Eastern Festival of Music at Guilford College runs June 30th through August 1st. The revamped endeavor combines concerts and recitals with an educational program for young artists. The public performances begin with Eastern chamber music and a program including works by Beethoven, Mendelssohn, and Arthur Foote on Tuesday, June 30th. That's followed by Only Mozart, featuring some of his concertos for piano, flute, and bassoon on Wednesday, July 1st. Both of those concerts will be at Dana Auditorium in Greensboro. An Appalachian Summer Festival welcomes the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra to the Schaefer Center for the Performing Arts in Boone on Wednesday, July 1st at 7:30. Under the direction of resident conductor Christopher James Lees, days, the CSL will perform a stirring program exploring the longing for beloved places with Antonín Dvořák's New World Symphony and Aaron Copland's Suite from Appalachian Spring. There are also some fun events coming up featuring wine, watermelon, and water skis. You can learn more in my complete column at WDAV.org, and fanfare is made possible in part by Bragg Financial. Back to you, Rachel.
Now, those are a lot of options. Thanks, Phil. That does it for this week's Piedmont Arts. I hope you enjoyed it. And be sure to subscribe at wdav.org/podcast, Apple Podcasts, or iHeart Podcast to make sure you get the newest episode when it comes out. For Piedmont Arts, I'm Rachel Stewart.